Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here, reminding you that a lot of life's firsts are better with help from American Family Insurance. Like your first home expansion or your first big lightning strike. There's a first for everything. Get the right home policy at the right price with the right help from American Family's agents. Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Let's go, girls. Welcome to Tunnel Talk, a No Facts, All Feelings wrestling podcast on the Social Suplex Network. I'm Allie.
I'm Ann.
And I'm Leah.
How's everybody doing this week?
Oh,
better
you know.
Than last week?
I think we have better energies.
Yeah, I think so. I haven't spent the last 5 days feeling like I was going to barf, so that's a big win for me.
And you look very good. You
that's
look
our, that's
very
our low,
good.
Low bar we're trying
Picture
to get over
health.
It. I would say you really exceeded it. You do
wow.
look
Thank
refreshed,
you.
Healthy, glowing. Mm-hmm. Leah, you look normal too.
Healthy, refreshed, glowing, and you're fine.
Well, you looked better last week. You know, you didn't look sick as a dog last week.
Leah, C's get degrees.
Yeah, spring is finally here. That's nice. Mm-hmm. It's lilac season, so that's nice. Something worth living for.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got to find things that are worth living for.
So true.
Every week. Speaking of things worth living for, Anne, are you prepared to tell us what's making you happy this week?
I am prepared, and I will not even be resentful about it.
Yes, and did you perhaps find that searching your mind for something that makes you happy kind of lifted your spirits and helped you to re-engage with the world around you?
It's kind of a gratitude practice. Yeah, that's how I was finding it. Yeah.
Now I am the one who's barfing.
Well, go do it privately, Leah. Anne's going to tell us what's making her happy.
I actually, in tribute to the name of this segment, I actually think what was making me happy today was Pop Culture Happy Hour, the podcast.
Oh, my goodness.
Sometimes professionally, I have to listen to a lot of wrestling podcasts, which is a pleasure often, but sometimes I just overdose on wrestling, and I'm like, I just need something light that isn't going to, like, upset me, that isn't about anything.
Yeah.
Like, you know, deep or dark or political or anything like that. And I put on a little Pop Culture Happy Hour, and it's like they do a review of a product. It's like usually fun, and they get in and out in 20 minutes, which I think is remarkable, frankly.
It's pretty amazing. You've actually made my week because I have been having, especially now that I'm commuting again, I've been having so much trouble finding things to listen to on the commute because I'm off so many of my usual podcasts because they might jump scare me.
Yeah.
And I can't be hearing anything I don't expect. You know what I mean?
No, exactly. Gotta protect your peace.
Yes. So I've been struggling quite a bit. And now I'm like rejuvenated. I'm like, oh my God, that's right. I have so much Pop Culture Happy Hour. I haven't listened to it in a while. That's going to keep me going for months.
Just like a cheerful little thing about pop culture, and it's they hit the high points and then they get out. Like sometimes they're a little too gentle on things that suck, but
much too gentle. But that's kind of fun in its own way
because
they do get into, even when I don't agree with their opinions, they get into like the guts of why they feel the way they do about something.
Yeah.
So it's always like an opinion that you can like develop a counter opinion too.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like I always want to have a conversation after listening to it.
Yeah. And the crazy thing about them too that I think they're really good at is that they will have people who like strongly disagree with each other and their energy is always like, oh, how interesting. That's nice. You know, like not, it just doesn't get like awkward or confrontational at all, which is also like kind of like wow, you guys seem really like emotionally well-regulated. it makes me feel emotionally well-regulated.
Which it's usually a quality we detest in people who are entertaining us. But in this way, it is good.
I know. And I haven't talked to my old friend Linda Holmes in so long. Mm-hmm. I haven't checked in with old Glenn. Oh. I love Glenn. Oh, my God.
See, so Glenn drives me crazy, but, you know,
God bless. Oh, he drives me insane. Yeah. Well, I don't like any of his opinions.
No, but they're all terrible opinions, and all his jokes are terrible.
He's so confident in them. Like, I love when Glenn will talk about a piece of media that I have dismissively, having watched and experienced, been like, wow, trash, Pablo. I can't believe that this is what they're feeding the masses now. And Glenn is just like, this really lit me up inside. I can't believe, like, you know, I'm a hard grader usually, but like, this delighted me. It's like, I guess you're a hard grader. I think it's just that your taste is incredibly bad, Glenn.
Yeah, it's just like the weirdest taste you ever heard. Sometimes I think about how he hated It's a Wonderful Life and I get angry all over again. It's like, Glenn, everyone likes It's a Wonderful Life. What is the problem?
And Glenn is so funny because he sometimes doesn't seem that in touch with the fact that it's like he'll be like a really light grader on queer media that like clearly is like touching something in him that it's like, I wish I had this when I was young. And it's like, well, we all wish we'd had things when we were young, but it doesn't mean that they're necessarily good, like, TV shows now, Glenn.
Right.
Necessarily.
Right. Yeah.
Queer people can also make terrible art.
That's their right.
It's their right. Are they not human beings?
My God. To make bad art is a privilege that all of us have in this world, and don't we know that from watching wrestling?
Oh, don't we ever.
On a related just topic of, like, you know, getting back into podcasts that aren't about wrestling, I'll say that I recently picked back up This American Life, which I haven't listened to since, 2014, 2015?
Yeah, probably. But it is,
It is quite the dicey prospect, though, because it's like sometimes it's like this beautiful story about this, like, you know, like I don't even know, like an old couple that own a store, and you get to hear, you know, everything that happened. And sometimes they tell you the bleakest thing that's ever happened, and you're like, well, I guess I'll go die. I don't know what else there is.
And you're like,
do.
I guess that was This American Life. Like, you can't deny truth in advertising, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I just was talking about This American Life at work this week because for some something was happening that we all kept talking about, like, you know, the episode of This American Life where they're talking about the production of Peter Pan where everything goes wrong?
Yes. It's, yep.
But I was – oh, you haven't heard that? And you're the – shockingly – the first person I've interfaced this week who, when I mentioned that, did not say, oh, I love that episode. Even people at work that I'm like, I didn't know you knew how to, like, listen to the radio. Like, they'd all heard it. I was shocked.
Wow.
But I think the episode's called Catastrophe, and every story in it is delightfully deranged.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think it's Catastrophe, something like that.
This American Life is so good when it hits.
When it hits. Man, those are two great recommendations. Guys, maybe when I drive home from work next week, I won't have to scream at the top of my lungs in my car six full times. Maybe I'll just be calm. Wouldn't that be fun?
Just absolutely put at peace by the dulcet tones of Linda Holmes and or Ira Glass.
I would love that. Because instead, I mean, I've been getting home in my, like, Dr. Doolittle if I were a man mood, where I'm like thrashing across the moors, just being like, I'm going to burn this society to the ground.
That's what commuting does to you.
Dude, it ruins your – protect your peace? No. Destroy your peace.
Have you seen those?
Over your peace.
Have you seen those studies that people's, like, happiness and survey goes down, like, correlated with the length of their commute?
I believe it.
I believe it.
I believe it.
I believe it. Okay. Well, great talk, guys. let's get to the wrestling. This week, Dynamite had a new theme song that was apparently by Sum 41. What did you guys think?
I didn't hear it because I was late turning on the show, so I listened to it later, and I was like, this rules. I do want to see the actual, like, opening, but I was like, I love it. I love the Sum 41 of it all.
I do love Sum 41, like, for sure. Turning on Dynamite and being met with an unfamiliar song is an experience that I hate. So I had a really visceral negative reaction.
I don't think I really processed the song at all because I was so scared. Like, it was like,
exactly.
Mommy, like, what's happening?
were bringing the boom, but I guess we're not.
I think it was a better... I had a better reaction to it than the last time they tried to do
I'm
a
so
new
excited.
Theme song.
Was that what they did?
Yes, it was. I'm so excited. Yeah. And the entire internet was like, turn that off. Don't do that again.
I actually liked that one, I think, because I thought it was so funny and because everybody else like had such a viscerally negative. I think this one was a little too close to the real Dynamite theme without being the Dynamite theme for me. Whereas if it was like, you know, I'm so excited, you're like, wow, this is not... the vibe.
I didn't see that coming. I think I could listen to it next week and love it, but I won't know until I won't know until I log on to Max at 7 p.m. exactly and it starts. Well, actually, usually I have to refresh at 7 p.m. because the Max app doesn't work very well and it finds it really difficult to transition from the waiting room to the show. But
yeah, you go right from that like calming music to Sum 41. A very organic kind of feeling. Yeah.
I have to say, I'm glad they have a theme song again because I didn't like that we didn't have one. True. That felt very dysregulating to me.
Yeah,
a show should have a theme song.
A show has to have a theme song. Like, although, you need that Pavlovian response. Yeah. Like, oh, I'm in the mood for...
But I don't know what made Tony boom. Crazy about the boom, because I'm like, liked
it. Was
what was wrong with the boom?
Yeah. I think it's just the way that all companies periodically are like, should we change our like very cool and distinct logo to something that everybody hates and that looks like everything else? We have to. Brands have to move with the times.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You can keep the same logo. You can keep the same theme song. Sometimes change isn't good. Sometimes it's bad.
Sometimes things being stable, there's one thing in this godforsaken world that stays the same, and you just rip it away from us.
Did you know that girls with anxiety watch our show, Tony?
He certainly does not.
He says, I wish they wouldn't because they're always yelling at me.
I'm doing what I can to get them out of there, but they keep clinging on.
Nevertheless, we persist, eh, Tony?
Tony, we got an American Pope. Anything could happen.
I can't believe we have an American Pope.
That's wild.
It's really really a problem, I think.
It was really interesting to me to be, like, all of my online spaces and in my office today, because I was in person, had the exact same reaction of, like, American Pope, I don't think they let us do that.
In 2025?
Didn't in general you kind of feel like, it's like, I'm not Catholic, and I don't really, like, hear that much about the Pope usually, like, but the excitement of everybody waiting for smoke to come out of a little smokestack and having a camera on the smokestack being like, when will the smoke come? It was like, God, we should do this for more stuff. Like, this is this is good for morale. Like,
one thing you've got to say for Catholics is they know drama.
I think that they should announce
of old and world religions.
And that's something they have not shifted the delivery mechanism for 1500 years, and is what Tony got to take a lesson from.
Tony, I want Dynamite to be like the Conclave.
I want the color of the smoke, because that was the only long distance communications available at the time, literal millennia ago, to be what we're still doing today.
Tradition can be good when it doesn't hurt people.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Just to be clear, politically, it's like,
some traditions Allie doesn't support, but others, she does.
I'm saying it's like, if you look at a tradition and it's good, like, this is fun, it harms no one, it creates a sense of community excitement, like, keep it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? But if it's bad and it harms people, get rid of it. Get rid
Once again, Tuttle Talk bravely says, if it's good, it's good. And if it's bad, it's bad.
But don't you sometimes feel like we are the only people willing to say that?
Sometimes, yeah.
You'd think it would be more common. All right. Okay, actual wrestling, ready?
Yep.
Okay, girls. I think we can begin with Hangman. Hangman came out and opened Dynamite with a promo about how hard the last few years have been for him and how he doesn't understand really why anyone is ever nice to him. And he looked like such a sweet little puppy. I just wanted to cry.
Oh, my God. I was like, that is a ultimo sweetie baby. Yeah. Like, ultimo.
The camera was so close to his face sometimes, too. I kept just wanting to, like, reach out and, like, pet his hair.
Yeah.
It was amazing because it was like, obviously, you're a professional. You know what you're doing. And, wow, you're so good at it. You're better than anyone's ever been at it.
Yeah.
He said, Tony, I'm going to do a promo and all the girls will want to reach through their screens and pet me. And they'll be messaging HBO Max, like, when is, like, live pet technology coming?
For the listener, the Zoom celebrated that annunciation with a confetti storming Ally's stream.
Yeah, she said live pet reaction, but a lot of confetti came over her screen.
Nobody likes when I tell you this, but I do have to tell everybody what's going on right now. AllElitewrestling.com. They've either hired a different recapper or they're using AI to do the recaps, which I disapprove of. So they've done one thing well, which is that there's a table of contents at the top of each recap that tells you, like, everything that happened in the show. That's amazing. That's great. But in order to give you that, they took away transcribing literally any of the promos, any of them. Like, they kind of transcribe them because they'll just, like, use them as the recap sometimes, but they're not in quotes, so you don't really know. It's not a source of truth. It never has been, but less than ever. I'm fucking ripshit about it. I'm so angry. It's so hard to just find someone doing good work in this world anymore.
I know. People are always talking about how, like, the nerds at Cage Match quantify everything. So people are keeping notebooks with matches. I'm like, where is the person that's out there documenting what promos are happening and what happened in them? The fact that you can't just get that is crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. Can AEW not afford, like, one of those auto transcribers?
Are you just fucking throw it up broke? There? Yeah. You can't just get Caption Max on board. It makes me legitimately angry. Mm-hmm. But I did transcribe the promos for us because I do my best, girls.
We work hard, unlike some people.
I was very impressed that you transcribed those. That was amazing.
Thank you. Thank you very much. What did you think of Hangman's promo?
I loved it. I loved it so much. Yeah. I think in a perfect world, I feel like what he was doing is, like, recentering everybody in his little, like, face turning journey where he's like, okay, here's where we came from and here's where we're going. Is everybody with me? And I think in a perfect world, he wouldn't have had to do that, but some people did need it. And the way he did it, I liked very much. So I was completely fine with it.
Yeah. And it's, like, very enjoyable to watch him come out there kind of shame face to talk about like how he feels about the things he did and what he was trying to do. Like, that's erotic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was interesting because it's obviously not, like, you know, we had all the conversation last week about, like, we need recap packages to, like, tell you what's going on with people. And it was like, well, sometimes you need a recap video package and sometimes you don't. And this was a thing where it's like, this was more effective than any recap package could ever have been.
Absolutely.
Do I think that, like I was kind of like, yeah, you're saying all the stuff that if someone's watching you on screen every week, they should have been tracking this from, you know, your acting and the way that you approach stuff, whatever. But it's like, this was a very effective recap that also told us things about you as a character that you couldn't get from just having someone explain what happened. Like, it's
totally.
I wish ever that when people who participate in a binary, either there's all video packages or no, like, in any way reference to the past, would acknowledge the recap promo as an option, because I almost always seriously. Would prefer it.
Yeah.
Plus, it, like, because it does have the character, like, talking, saying what they feel about those things now, too, which is also, like, could be different than how they felt at the time, you know? So it's, like, also serves to move the story along. It was funny, too, because he kept saying, like, oh, and I did this terrible thing I'm ashamed of, and the crowd would just, like, cheer really loud. It's like, you guys are not helping.
It's like, I had the worst 2 years of my life, and I burned a man's house down.
Yeah, you did.
And so he ended up at the end of his promo, he, like, directly addressed Swerve and he said, I will never forget what you did to me and I will probably never forgive you for it. But for me, I will have to put it behind me, because he's pursuing the belt. Listen, this man is I'm in love with this man. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. To say I will probably never forgive you is just, like, it's so complicated in your brain about Swerve. It's so complicated. Mm-hmm. I'll never forget what you did, and I'll probably never forgive you. Bitch!
Yeah.
It's so juicy. It's so juicy because it's like, I'm obsessed with the way that Hangman is like, you hurt me more than anybody else has ever hurt me, but you made me feel more than anybody else has ever made me feel. And I did things that I don't respect in myself, but I did them, and that's all tied up with you. And I don't know how to hate you without hating myself.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's all so good. It's all so good.
Juicy. Yum, yum.
He's the goat.
He's the goat.
Yeah.
He said he's going to wrestle Will Ospreay at Double or Nothing. Will Ospreay's music hits. He comes out, and he cuts a promo on Hangman that he starts by saying, sorry for interrupting your therapy session. No response. The crowd
no
is like,
no response.
Kind of love it when Hangman comes out and does his therapy sessions. That's our favorite thing.
Yeah, this is like, great for us.
Not a burn. I was like, wow, what an unsuccessful line.
Very funny. He ended up cutting this promo in which he mostly was kind of recapping Hangman's past few years, mm-hmm. like from the perspective of the crowd and like him as a member of the crowd, kind of being like, these are the things that I saw you do and I saw you go through. I want to read this, what I thought was the funniest line. But I spotted something last week after you beat Kyle Fletcher. I and these people saw something we ain't seen from you in a very long time. You smiled again.
This is crazy. What a deranged crazy thing to say.
You're so stupid. That's so sweet. You're so dumb. I thought you smiled again.
Insane thing to say about someone that, like, you're in a, like, starting a feud with, and the energy of every other part of that promo was like, and yet he smiled, and it touched you.
Yeah. I mean, what did you think? So then he moved into another phase of the promo. What did you guys think of, like, just, like, what were you tracking as you watched this about, like, Will Ospreay the character, you know?
Well, that's the problem. So, like, I liked it in some ways because it really did feel, I don't know, I wish I could think of another word to say than respect, but, like, the way he was kind of being like, hey, man, it's nice to finally meet you. I've been aware of you for a long time, and, in fact, I know all of the steps of your journey, and I have been watching you because all of this stuff has been so, like, compelling. Like, I felt like that was way more respectful and also, like, true to, like, Hangman's greatest art than just being like, yeah, you were a champion, and of course I respect champions. It was like, no, he respects him on a level deeper than that, which I really liked. Like, I really did like that.
Yeah.
But on the flip side, Hangman, like, he kind of recounted a lot of Hangman's journey. And I'm like, there's, we all know Hangman's journey, especially, like, you know, the Hangman, like, girls, like,
it
yeah,
did
they
feel
know.
A little bit like, Will Ospreay, we were there. You
we
weren't.
Were there. We lived that. But it was like, Will Ospreay, I'd actually love to hear this about you. Like,
yeah.
Could you, what's going on with you? Like, what, I, you know, I would kill for Will Ospreay to spin me. Like, even a retcon-y little thing where he's like, here's who I was in New Japan, and that's how, this is how I became who I am right now. Even if, you know, he's kind of, like, pulling threads that weren't necessarily there to begin with. Like, it would just be so, like, helpful right now if he was like, hey, man, this is what's going on with me, which is why I'm reacting to you this in this way. But he continued feeling, like, very deflecty, where I'm just like, I think I'm farther away from understanding where you are.
That's his own character note. That's where he wants us to be. He doesn't want us to get in there. He doesn't want us to get close.
I like totally agree that was a huge problem. And it also felt very, honestly, like, condescending to me, where Hangman kind of recapped where he is in his journey now and with the past year. And then Will Ospreay comes out and is like, hey, little buddy, I've been watching you this whole time. You did great. And now you're smiling again. Like, that's exciting. And I think part of it is just, like, Will Ospreay's, like, delivery. And I don't know, like, like, in some ways, I think this was one of his better promos. But when he said, "For me, it's a pleasure to meet the hangman." And then he paused and gave him, like, significant eye contact. I was like, what are we supposed to, like, what was it moving along?
I definitely don't think I took it like that at all. But I do, like, I do see what you mean, where it is, like, it is hard to be, like, it's I think it's hard to deliver, like, "We've all been watching you," without being like an eye.
Slow clap. Oh, yeah, amazing. Right.
Well, and I think also, like,
judgment.
Yeah, and like having someone else recap your own life to you, like, is just kind of like, especially in as much detail as he did it, I just felt like, to me, the emotion it inspired in me was like, I wanted Hangman to kind of punch him in the face. Like, I found it very, especially once he transitioned into this whole, like, the meaner part and the yellier part, where he was like, "It's not about your redemption, it's about my ascension." And I was like, are they going kind of heel with him? Because, like, I don't know, like, the point of a wrestling promo is for me to want to watch them fight and to want one person to win, to beat the other person. And it's like, this promo set me up as an audience member to want Hangman to win, and I'm not sure that was the intent. No. And I think all of us have been assuming this whole time, like, that Hangman's going to lose to Ospreay, and then Ospreay's probably going to beat Mox. And I'm like, is it really setting that arc up for success for me to want Hangman to beat him very badly because he's being kind of annoying right now, you know?
This was a classic wrestling promo where I went on that same similar journey where I was like, okay, your tone is a little weird. I think it might be helpful, Will Ospreay, if, like, as you're talking about what you've seen from Hangman, if you gave us a little of, like, what you were doing at that time, like, how, you know, your own psyche, that, you know, it was going on a journey kind of along with Hangman as a viewer, whatever. And then he gets to that back half, and I spent the whole thing being like, this seems mean to me. Like, I definitely am just like, okay, rude, calm down. Yeah. He never did anything to you. But I wasn't sure if it was supposed to be. And I felt like if I had, like, you know, logged onto Twitter and seen 10 men tell me, like, wow, Will Ospreay really showed us his strength as a face in that promo, I would be like, yeah, of course they're saying that. Yeah, totally. And I just didn't get it, and I never will. And so never I don't really will. Know.
No.
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It just seemed like, but I think the thing is like, if this is part of Will Ospreay's journey to win the ON and then win the belt, like, this should be about Will Ospreay and not, they should make the whole thing about Hangman.
It
didn't feel
like it was about Will Ospreay, which was very interesting. It felt, was like, Hangman is actually the focus of this storyline.
Yeah.
Which is good. Like, I like that.
Right. Well, yeah, I like it, but it's crazy if the outcome that I'm assuming is going to happen is it, like, if Hangman wins and then wins against Mox or loses against, like, if, you know, then it's fine. And if Will Ospreay's going to lose against Mox, I guess then it's kind of fine. But it's just like, where are we taking this? Because I think it's probably more incompetence.
Right. I don't know. Right. Right. Yeah, I think they definitely, by Will Ospreay never really talking about his own journey and only talking about Hangman's, it's like, okay, so the story is the match is about Hangman. And I know, like, people keep repeating it on the show now, but I'm like, yeah, that's why Hangman's main character, right? Like,
yeah. It's interesting for it to have broken the fourth wall.
And I was thinking that, like, there are things that Will Ospreay could have, like, compared, because I'm pretty sure that Will Ospreay had a big title run, like a, you know, top guy title run in New Japan that didn't go fabulously, like, that, you know, he, like, I think that, like, there were things that didn't, like, it wasn't what he wanted. So there is, like, I think similarities to Hangman that he could have pulled on to be like, both you and I want another shot at the title run that we think we could have, you know what I mean? But
Yeah.
That's all right.
Yeah. And then he got mad at Hangman because of what he did to Jeff Jarrett, Christopher Daniels, and Ospreay's best friend Swerve, which is like, okay, I've seen no evidence of you caring about any of those people.
No, that was the point that I was like, Will Ospreay will pack bond with anything.
It's funny because it's like, I know that, like, you're shoot friends. I understand that. And I saw you one time that I remember together on screen happily celebrating the Ops win for some reason. I don't know why either of you was
there. Confusing then, but.
Well, this is us being consistent because we didn't let FTR and Cope get away with it, and we're not letting Ospreay and Swerve get away with it. Mm-mm. You don't get to grab the mic and say we're best friends without showing us a friendship sequence.
Especially when earlier in the promo you mentioned your legit kayfabe best friend, Kyle Fletcher, who betrayed you and didn't show a single emotion about it, my sweet boy. My sweet son. You said his name so happily, you didn't even hiss a little like, oh, it hurts even to mention it. You're just fine. You're just fine?
Yeah. And, like, what if Will Ospreay had come out and been like, I know you want the title, and, like, everyone acts like you're the main character, but I've got my own stuff going on, too. My best friend betrayed me, and, like, the title's really important to me, and I actually, like, I've been here working hard at AEW. Make me want you to win.
I would have killed for that if Will Ospreay had taken the tact of being like, okay, we all have stories.
We're all the main character of our own lives. Right. Hangman Adam Page.
We're all backstage crying about our things that have happened, okay?
Well, instead of being like, of course, Hangman, we're all backstage crying about things that have happened to you.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, let's move towards the... quick pause. This is a flash topic. Hair and outfit. Hair and outfit. I heard you got some flack from Big Dave.
I did, shockingly. Yeah,
I know.
I didn't know Big Dave could see clothes.
Well, I didn't either, yeah. Especially on Osprey.
I think Big Dave ended up walking some of it back in a weird way, too. I think if I understood the drama right, that originally he was like, yeah, Will Ospreay did not look like a star. True. Should have been wearing a suit. False.
Nope.
Well, he actually didn't say, he said the Hurt Business look like stars more wearing suits, but, and then he said not everybody needs to wear a suit. Like, I did watch the clip.
Nice.
Like, what he did that activated everyone is he said one thing that WWE does well that AEW does badly is if you want to be a top guy, you should present yourself like a star. If he had just said, if Will Ospreay wants to be a top guy, he should present himself as a star. I'm like, well, indisputably true. Like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Swerve come out of here looking like trash.
Yeah,
like,
you should make your point. Yeah, make your point that you made earlier. And you said it so smart earlier. Say it again.
Make your good point.
Oh, you guys. No, I was just saying that, like, every time Swerve comes out, like, he looks like a huge deal and a big star, and he clearly puts a lot of effort into his presentation, and it really fits with his character. And you have people like Darby who also clearly, like, put a lot of thought into their presentation, and, like, it makes sense with who they are. And they don't come out looking like Laundry Day, and they don't come out like, well, I wrestle real good, so it doesn't matter. Because, like, being a pro wrestler means... you're supposed to have a flamboyant character. There is a fashion component. You are supposed to be presenting yourself like you're on television, not like, well, you know, this is what was clean, so I threw it on.
Right. That outfit was kind of crazy, though, because so the socks were pulled all the way up, like over the bottom, over the cuffs of the sweatpants. The sweatpants were the strangest fitting because in some places they seemed like tapered, and then like around the butt they were very baggy also. I think he had something like a Kindle or something in his cargo pocket that
it was
like
a phone. It was a very large phone. It was a big phone. It was like there was something in his pocket that was like a big square
and I was
like iPhone Pro Plus.
If I heard that Will Ospreay was walking around with a Kindle in his pocket, that would change everything for me. That would be like an emergency pod.
Will Ospreay can read?
I want to say, like, this is like, I'm looking through the screen to Will Ospreay, wherever you are. What did someone say to you about your hair? What happened?
Oh my God.
What did someone say to you? Or like, is it, you have to stop straightening.
You can't.
You have beautiful hair. You have lovely curls, but like, I need you to reach inwards and realize that if you continue down this path, you will have hair like Kenny's someday.
You know, your hero Kenny.
Gotta treat it right.
You want to look like that?
Look at what you're wearing. Look at your hair. You are on a Kenny Omega path right now.
Kenny Omega is a poodle with permanent mats. You don't want that to be you. Okay? Just embrace your curl. Learn to take care of it. Learn what it needs. Stop straightening it. It's strange. Somehow it's very strange. Although
this time too, he had like pulled it back kind of, like, the way he had done it, his forehead was 10 times larger than it normally looks.
Yeah. Okay, but
there was a camera shot where, like, the camera was, like, to the, like, over Hangman's shoulder and pointing at Osprey, and they were both looking off in the distance, and I was like, this is such a bad angle, because these are two very prominently browed men, and Osprey's hair was not helping with that.
Something did just occur to me, though. I do think that he looks more evil when he straightens his hair. So if they're leaning into heel vibe, then actually that was good. And I take back my criticisms. But just make sure that you're using a heat protectant. So
it's true. Honestly, like, if the outfit and hair were like a heel presentation, like, it could work. You just have to go broader with it. You got to go full Young Buck, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You can't go halfway where you look like just a dude. You've got to look crazy.
Ham it up.
Right.
Do you want that? Do you want that Mommy's Little Ham Award or not? He's like, I've never heard of it.
And I don't want to be a top guy.
Okay, so their face-off got interrupted by the Callis family. They came out. Don Callis cut this promo where he said, you know, Ospreay, every day you show me how stupid you are. The stupidest day of your life was when you left the Don Callis family. And just to prove how stupid you are, do you know who you're standing in the ring with? A violent, mentally unstable sociopath who put his mentor in the retirement home and can't walk. Hangman is so upset that, like, he's starting to lunge for Don Callis. Osprey holds him back. He does have an impulse towards friendship, as we've known. And then Osprey hops on the mic and is just like, oh, you come say that to my face, Don Callis. You sent two of your guys down here and me and Hank. And then, like, I don't know if the crowd, it was because the crowd was chanting fuck Don Callis or because, like, I think that was it. But, like, the kayfabe character thing seemed to be that for a moment he was like, should I say that? I guess maybe not. But then he immediately was like, no, I'll definitely say it. Like, Hanger and I would love to fight two guys. And Hangman's like, Hanger would not love to fight two guys with you. Hanger is fight you. But Don Callis had pounced on this moment of weakness and was like, two of my guys will fight you guys next week if you can make it there.
Yeah.
Which was interesting. What do you think about, like, I mean, I think we've already gotten into it, like, you know, a little bit. I think mostly we're just like, we don't really know what these narrative arcs are anymore, maybe.
Right.
They aren't.
Yeah.
They seem to not be quite what people had been discussing or expecting, which actually personally I find quite fun. I like sometimes to feel like, wow, what the hell are we doing here? This is interesting. This could go anywhere.
I know, like, tagging together is one of those things when they have rivals do it where I'm like, I don't know. I mean, like, maybe it'll be fun, but, like, it's not my favorite way to build a feud.
I like it when the two people aren't sure of their dynamic together, because then you get a sort of thing where it's like, sometimes, like, they're like, you know, they end up catching friendly fire. They have a, you know, mid-match fight about how to handle something, and then it ends up feeding the rest of the feud, and that can get interesting. But if it's just like, well, we hated each other going in and hated each other coming out, then it's boring. I think Hangman and Ospreay could have an interest because they're both so good. I mean, for all of Ospreay's other faults, he's very good at, like, in match,
he is,
like, making a match interesting. So I have a feeling that they are gonna do something that ends up fueling, like, future stuff. So I have a good hope for it.
I think the match will be fun for sure. I think this promo didn't give me confidence that they have, like, a good, that Osprey specifically doesn't have, like, a good handle on what their dynamic is between the two of them. So it'll be interesting to see.
Hangman, couldn't you give him just, like, a little, like, character sheet to fill out? I know you can find some. You know how to use teacher websites, you know? Like, just make him a little handout and just help him work through it and be like, this is what we're going to try and get across about you, bud. Because we just want to know who you are.
You know that tweet that was going around about, like, the Young Bucks back in PWG? Someone was like, the first time I had a match against the Young Bucks, backstage, they met with me and they were like, what do you do well that we can highlight? I think when Hangman has a promo, like, he should meet with somebody backstage and be like, what is the biggest flaw you have that we can really dig into? Like, I'll highlight that for you.
And I did feel, it's like, if they had been in the kind of promo where Hangman was going to get another round, he would have done it. You know what I mean? He always does. Hangman has never promoed on someone and not, like, been paying very careful attention to, like, who he thinks they are as a character and, like, you know, what he can say about that. So, and then another complicating element is that later in the show, Ospreay had a backstage interview with Renee that got interrupted by MJF. MJF had already spent some airtime peacocking for the Hurt People by beating up Top Flight, something we won't be discussing. The gist was that MJF was like, feel free to try and get that world championship. It's mine, and it'll be really easy to beat you once you have it. And Ospreay was like, not to be the second person this week to say this, but, like, your plan seems, like, really bad. Like, I just, like, kind of, like, don't get what you're doing. And MJF was like, you're so fucking dumb. And then was like, I'm on the level of the devil catchphrase and tried to leave. And then Ospreay, like, reached out, grabbed him, right, yanked him back into frame, and achieved a level of erotic intensity that I wasn't expecting at all.
No. And Ospreay has not shown that before.
It was a depth of intensity. It's like you didn't get there with Hangman, which few can say. Most get there with Hangman.
Right.
And then he did his catchphrase about how he's on another level. They both have level catchphrases. That's fun. I thought, what's all this about?
I know. It, like, makes me so nervous because I'm mad at MJF and I don't really want him to do anything in that Owen final. Like, I don't want a fuck finish.
No, I certainly don't.
So the fact that he keeps talking to Hangman and Ospreay is like, what are we doing?
I know. I had a very similar thing where I was like, I don't actually want you involved in this. I'm mad at you, and actually I need you to stay in feuds that I can comfortably ignore until I can get over it, because I'm just so annoyed at you right now. But I think weirdly enough, Ospreay did a better job with MJF than he did with Hangman. Because I really liked the thing where MJF came in hard and was like, that's my championship and I'm gonna get it back. And Ospreay was like, then why didn't you fucking participate in the Owen, you douchebag? Seems like you're not that serious about it, and I don't have to take you seriously. That ruled.
I did love, I think, Leah, you had the in-the-moment reaction in our group chat of being like, okay, MJF isn't allowed to call Will Ospreay dumb. Only we're allowed to call Will Ospreay dumb. And I was like, yeah, that's right. That's actually our sweet boy. Of course, he's very stupid. But
you are not saying it complimentary, so therefore, shut the fuck up.
Shut your hole. I don't know. I felt nervous, but, you know, again, it's like I'm always kind of interested if it's, like, in the early stages of, like, now where is this going? And I want to know. I think it's good to kind of want to know. I wish it weren't MJF, obviously, but I don't know. I'm scared, but I'm interested. And for a girl with anxiety, that could be worse, you know? anything else you want to say about kind of the world title picture heading into the summer, I guess?
I don't know. My thing about the Owen is that, and even the Death Riders and all of the speculation about who might win, is I just want to have a nice summer.
Yeah.
We are going to All In. I want to enjoy being at All In. I want to see things that entertain me. I don't necessarily need Hangman to win the Owen. I don't necessarily need... I mean, I don't think I'm as mad at the Death Riders as other people are. I mean, they haven't been very interesting, but also they haven't been on TV that much.
No.
And so, haven't been, to be honest. I mean, they're not offensive right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
They're not making a true sentence about misogyny.
They have a single misogyny. So actually...
right.
They're moving really up, like, the ranks.
They're the least of my problems when it comes to the show.
So I think some people's both what they think is going to happen and the worst case scenario at the same time is that Mox holds the belt until Darby comes back in the fall. And I'm like, the thing is that, like, if you continue doing something else that is interesting that also gets a large chunk of time, which they have been currently doing with Hangman, then I'm not that mad about it. Like, my biggest priority simply is that the things that I'm watching are interesting. Yeah. I don't actually care about the win-loss record. So I don't know. I just keep being like, Tony, you can do whatever stupid stuff you want with the belt as long as the rest of the show is entertaining.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the Death Riders really, like, the amount of time they take, it's like I really have no beef with them particularly. It's like they're not good, but they're they really don't bother me.
No.
And, like, I really don't give a shit who has the title. Like, I feel like in terms of, like, Ospreay winning or whatever, it's like, I don't... Like, I am totally willing for Ospreay to have the belt. Like, I do not give a shit. And I'm shocked they haven't given... Like, I think they've done well in not giving it to him so far.
That's true.
Actually.
They've been sitting there not eating their marshmallow for...
Yeah,
2 years,
for
right?
2 years, yeah. So it's like totally. I feel like it's a very appropriate time frame for Ospreay to get the title. It's like this summer. I feel like this setup with this promo going the way it does, and then him taking a run at Mox, who was like the AEW originals were at. It's like this is crazy though. This would be a crazy way for him to get a belt. Yeah. So it's just like, and again, it's like I'm not even that mad about it. It's just like I don't think you guys are setting him up for success.
Yeah.
Like, he needs a lot of help.
Right.
That.
Well, that's
so like. I mean, he's a great wrestler. Like, and I like him, but it's like storytelling and promos are not his
strengths.
Do we
have the resources to support him at this time?
Right. Right.
You're not even willing to pay Caption Max. Like, are you going to get him like, you know, like a creative writing tutor? Like,
right. Right. I mean, that is, that's really real though, because at the world title holder, and this is true in the women's division too, has to be kind of the tent pole that other people come up to and like shelter under, you know? And so it's like, I don't, like, if you...
Which hasn't been the case with the Death Riders, actually. So you can see what happens when that doesn't work, you know?
Right,
which is, like, another... Right, which is another problem right now, because it's like, Ospreay needs a good tent pole to come up against, and, like, Mox a year ago would have been fine, but Mox
right now isn't
going to be
which
helpful.
Which I think is basically our reservations about Ospreay winning right now, is I'm like, I don't think that, you know, the Mox disinterested summer is going to put him in a good place. I would love to see him up against, like, could we time travel and like grab Mox from, you know, 2000.
I wish we could. I was just the other day thinking I wish that we had the technology to do time travel storylines in wrestling, because I think they could change the game.
Oh yeah.
But we don't have the technology.
Oh, but like it's almost, I actually think it would be dangerous, because I know that these fucking men would use it so that they could fight Andre the Giant or something.
Jesus
like, they
Christ.
Would not.
Like, it's true. Every week we tune in and be like, we have the ability to see all of the horniest things imaginable. And it would just be like, and it's me versus Bret Hart. And it's just like,
I can't watch
TV
another
off.
Time travel Bret Hart
off.
Match. God damn it. You're like, you could use this technology to go back in time and kill Hitler, but no, you're fighting Bret Hart again? Okay.
The technology, Tony only paid a witch to do it for wrestling. She was like, I can't in good conscience do a spell that would allow you to kill Hitler, but if it's just for your little wrestling matches, that's fine. Yeah, sure, that's fine. I want to say one thing before we move on from this, and I just want to say it because I don't think it'll bring many joy to hear this, but as a woman with limited object permanence... The longer that I don't see that belt that's in the briefcase, the more I start to forget that the AEW World Championship belt exists. And if it stays in that briefcase for another 6 months, it will leave my mind completely. I'll just be like, there's no such thing as an AEW Men's World Champion.
Yeah,
it doesn't exist. There never has been.
The top belt is the TNT belt.
It's the TNT
is it
belt,
not?
Yeah. Yeah. So that's just something. I mean, I don't really know who I want to keep that in mind, but I just want to put the experience out there. Like for women like me, that belt is becoming increasingly. It's in the where the cat is. You know the cat.
Schrodinger's
cat. It's in Schrodinger's box with Schrodinger's cat. And one day we could open that box and there's nothing there. There is nothing there except a dead cat. So, let's move on to what's going on in the women's division. Toni Storm fought Lady Frost on Collision and won, and then cut just like an absolute wackadoo banger of a promo in which she... It's like you can't really... I guess you can't really summarize it. Should I read it? I mean, I don't...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's so good. It's like when you read it like written out, you're like... She's just a genius.
She's right.
It's incredible.
She said, this whore you all adore, this slut you can't rebut, this tramp is still the champ. And my God, What a frosty little slop tart. Now I know there's a fresh batch of slop tarts back there trying to take a shot at this wide load that holds the gold. Yes, that's right. Everyone's coming for Tony Storm, but you've got it all wrong, darling. Tony Storm comes for everybody. So if your tits can take the hits, then I'm not a hard woman to find. I could be right here. I could be over here. She's like running around. I could be here. I could be next to this man. I could be next to this man. And then she burst through. They were at the Masonic Temple Theater or something. This is mm-hmm. these smaller venues that they've been doing. Please keep doing them.
They're so good.
The visual interest is so much higher than when they do mm-hmm. the big stadiums. Like, I never want to see the fucking Target Center again.
Yeah.
I love these weird little venues.
Mm-hmm. With the balconies and the ornate stuff.
Yeah. So she bursts.
Even the backstage is more interesting.
It's so fun. It's like, it just feels like you really feel like I am in a different place this week than when mm-hmm. they go to the stadiums. It's like all stadiums are the same kind of.
Yeah.
So she bursts out on the balcony and she says, I'm going to be right here on this bloody broadwalk, I guess. I don't know. And one thing I know for sure is I will be ready. I will be sweaty. I am here and I am queer and I will always be timeless. And I
love her.
You know what?
Incredible.
I felt really moved and invigorated by it, which I didn't mm-hmm. fully expect to be. Like, I don't know. I really was just like, oh my God, Toni Storm, I love you. Yeah. I love you.
Yeah.
She's the only one saying, like, I mean, being, I don't even mean the pervert stuff, just being constantly willing to say what she wants to say and not be worried about. And I felt like the timing, especially where like WWE had released a bunch of like queer wrestlers. And so she was just like middle finger, you know?
Yeah.
Man, I just really, I really like her and I'm so.
I really like her so much. And I would not have predicted this she was Rocker Tony. No. I really wouldn't. But now I straight up would die for her.
And you know what?
She's so confident and so funny, so consistently. Like it's amazing.
Yeah. She just totally fucking delights me. All right. Anna Jay and Harley Cameron had a couple of backstage segments together this week, including one on Dynamite, where they were being perverts as well. Everyone's getting in on the perversion these days.
I really
Tony
think
Storm
so.
Cracked that glass ceiling. Yeah. On women and you know.
And it just
slime
rained down. And I'm so sorry. Maybe bleep that. I don't know.
I know that Anna Jay has been doing that fat ass stuff for a while, but it has always felt a little bit more like, look at, like, you know, kind of like talking herself up. Whereas this felt much more like her and Harley passing a baton back and forth. And it was like just so fun. And they were trying to pop each other more than they were that concerned with us. And I liked it so much. It made both of them seem very loose and fun. Yeah. And I was just like, this is great.
It was quite sweet. It was a little funny, like in the context. Tony's way of like doing this kind of like body humor is like, I really love that she'll just like come out, say 17 like insane, inappropriate, like sexual things and not pause for a second between them to be like, did you get that? So mm-hmm. it's just like people like commentary, just like sometimes getting them, sometimes not, and like constantly being like, I'm trying to keep up with you. This was so funny to me because there's a little more like intro level where they have this back and forth that was like, I have the T and you have the A, the tenacity and the aggression and the tits and ass. And I'm like, Anna Jay, we all know the tits and ass.
You didn't actually have to explain that.
You just move on and like we know it and it's funny, but like in such a happy, sweet way where I'm like, I just love you.
Yeah.
I think you're so fun and I want the best for you always. And you guys had a really great energy. I'm excited for you to be working together.
Totally. And Anna Jay is always stilted and she was a little stilted in this one, but I think this is really like loosening her up.
Yeah.
And it's like, I hope they have like a bunch of promos together because I think it'd be really good for her to get like a little more confidence in speaking.
Yeah, because Harley is just so easy that I think she's a good person for somebody to work with that, mm-hmm. you know, might be a little bit. But it did crack me up because do you think that Harley has a little bit of the Will Ospreay, like, I'll be friends with anyone deal? Like, it just feels like Harley's backstage being like, who's doing a promo? Do you want a friend? Do you want, like, company? I'll just come hang out with you. Do you want a tag partner? Do you need someone to second you in your match? I'll go with anybody.
Honestly, like, a vibe that makes sense for someone who is a ventriloquist, you know?
It's like, you need any puppets in your act?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm happy that I get to keep seeing her. I like it.
Yeah.
Anna had a four-way championship eliminator match versus Toni Storm, Penelope Ford, and Thunder Rosa on Dynamite. Toni won that. Megan Bain came out in the middle of the match and caused some havoc. I don't think I have anything else to say about that. But you guys are welcome to if you do.
I didn't really. I thought that the Megan Bain stuff kind of, I was like, why is this happening? And I got confused for a minute where I was like,
yeah,
she wasn't always in this match. No, she just came out.
I think, you did at one point say something, but I was following so badly that I didn't even follow why you were confused. I was like, I don't know who's there. I have no idea who's here right now.
I think she did that so they could give cover for the other three girls to lose without looking weak. But sometimes I'm just like, well, you could just lose though. That's not a big deal.
Well, I always think it's stupid that everybody is so concerned about looking weak or whatever. It's like, oh, you're play fighting make believe. Okay.
I know. Well, and I'm kind of like in that group. It's like Penelope, Anna, and Thunder Rosa. It's like, well, you all,
it's like, they could
of
all
course, you're all
going
to lose to Toni. So it's like, you know, everyone expects it. Don't worry about it. Jamie Hayter had a sit down with Renee on Dynamite in which she said that she doesn't have Mercedes's resume, so it's hard to know whether to hire her. I don't even remember I don't even remember what she said that made me make that joke.
She said that she didn't have Mercedes' resume, which she meant, like, I don't have the, credentials that she has, but it was just, like, you left it in your office.
There was a pivotal pause afterwards where it was like, oh, and why did you need it? Like, what? What were you going to do with it? We have a printer. We can still print it out if you wanted a hard copy. I think she was just basically being like, I'm a little confused. She wants to know the real Mercedes, and she wants to be acknowledged as a contender like her. And I don't know, seen as a viable opponent, I guess. And then Mercedes interrupted to beat her up, and this was fun because, again, we're at the Masonic Temple Theater, and so we're already in a room with cool armchairs, which is so much better than when you're in one of those weird back rooms where they just had to drag some folding chairs.
It's like a folding chair and cinder like blocks, one stained couch.
It felt like...
Or they have to build like an office worker terrarium with no door.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I love AEW.
Yeah, but it's perfect. Hey, it's perfect company in some ways. So it already is great. And then the fight spills out onto like a balcony. And so it's it's, Shakespearean. Looked great. And I wanted to say, that's kind of what I thought was happening when I went to the bathroom that one time at my show, and then I thought that Swerve and Hangman had, fought in front of everybody. That's what I imagined, is that they would get to be on a balcony, and it was, for a moment, framed, oh, there they are, and then they go away again. And it's not what happened in my show, but it is what happened here. What do you guys think about, Jamie's whole deal right now?
I don't know, and I want to. I was listening to ONR this week, and James was saying something that it's hard to take Jamie seriously right now as a contender because she hasn't really done much. And I was like, yeah, it's hard because I think there's a lot of very loud personalities in the women's division right now. Toni and Mercedes are both loud in a very specific way. And Willow and Chris are so distinctive at this point that it's hard. Mm-hmm. It's hard to stand out. And how Jamie has chosen to stand out is her 70s aesthetic, which is cool, but at a certain point, it does start, you need something else, too. Yeah. And I think that there was something in this that she could have pulled on, but I don't know, where she was kind of like, well, the thing is that, Mercedes, you're nothing but catchphrases and, glitz and glitter and, who the fuck are you? What is your deal? And that's interesting, I think, to a certain level, especially when you say it to, a heel where it's like, yeah, I see all of the illusions that you're throwing up to keep people from seeing who you really are, but I can see it and you're just a scared little girl. That's a fun thing to say, but I think you kind of have to say it from a position of knowing what your deal is. And I don't really think that Jamie is clear on that.
I think you're absolutely right. It's a very dangerous thing. It's an incredibly interesting thing to say if you're a hangman, and a very dangerous thing to say if you yourself have not given people something to dig into about your
character. Especially because Jamie's got her own illusions up with, like, the Scooby-Doo thing, where I'm like, you are also don't want people to look at that clothes. You want them to look at the dress and the aesthetics rather than
which would be interesting to lean into. If you're like, my 70s vibe is so dramatic to distract from the fact that I'm a scared little girl. I feel like Jamie, like, before she went out, like, she was really, really over, and it feels sad to me that she's not now, but it's like she got over because she was really good at wrestling and has a great ass. And
Amen, sister.
Unfortunately, in the year she was out, the women's division has really improved. And so, like, being good at wrestling is not really enough to carry you.
Don't you think that before she was out, she got over because of her story with Britt?
Yeah.
I mean, for all that Britt, you know, has
bring that much to it, though, personality-wise.
But it was the same thing that happened with Wardlow, right? Like, Wardlow got hugely over because of his thing with MJF.
Yeah.
And then when he became the TNT belt holder, he kind of crashed out because there was nothing left. Jamie just didn't even have that option because she got hurt so quickly. So it's like, if she hadn't gotten hurt, would she have found a new thing, or would she have Wardlowed? I don't know. But she's kind of Wardlowing now.
She's Wardlowing now for sure. And I feel like there is this, like, genre of person in AEW who's very good in ring but doesn't bring a lot else to the table. And it's like, unfortunately, AEW has a pretty deep bench. So you really need to, like, bring the other elements of pro wrestling to the table.
I know. But, like, Jamie can talk. You know how, like, first of all, I would die for Chris. But you know how Chris can't talk? Like, I love her so much. Yeah. She's just, but she's so terrible at
she's
it.
She's doing her best. Yeah. And she's Jamie, come a long way.
She's come a long way. I would die for her. I love her so much.
Can't talk. Yeah.
You can't talk. But Jamie actually can. It's just that a lot of times they're directionless. So it is sort of like,
Chris has a much more specific personality than Jamie does, even though she's not as good at communicating.
Jamie needs. Jamie needs to sit down with somebody to be like, okay, loop all of this together. I'm going to write a list of everything I know about you, and then we're going to come up with the glue that puts everything into a cohesive, like, whole. Mm-hmm.
Okay, Hangman, that handout that you printed out for Will Ospreay, let's just get someone, one of the interns, to run down to the copier, run off a couple hundred of them, and we'll just pass those out. Honestly. And I want everybody doing their handout this week. Okay.
Mm-hmm. No ChatGPT.
No.
Gotta write it on paper.
My God, it's gotta be handwritten. And honestly, I'm like, lock them in a room without computers. Like,
take their phones away.
Do pen and paper. Kind of retreat weekend. No Wi-Fi, no phones, no ChatGPT. Sit them down with their handouts, and then they're doing improv the rest of the week.
They're going to love it.
I ran the zoo. And then finally we got a Willow and Chris interaction that is leading to a match next week. The gist of it was that Willow was do you like that I just said unpack together?
No, it was completely fine. I was just thinking about how funny this promo was.
Very strange. In some ways, it started out as exactly what I wish everybody would do. Willow is having a backstage interview. Chris comes out and is like, I want to talk to you. Willow's like, I don't want to talk to you. Chris is like, I'm well aware of that because you won't talk to me, but let's just do it on camera. If you won't talk to me in the locker room, then you have to talk to me on camera. And Willow is like, I'm not talking to you. Like, and like, push her away. And Chris is like, fucking fine, goes to leave. Willow brings her back. I'm with them completely up to this point. I'm just like, I love what's happening. And then what happened? A demon got in these girls.
Willow all of a sudden smiled and softened and said, Chris, come on back here. Instead of talking, what if we did a little fight?
Hey, it'll be fun. Should we be bad?
Should we get some mozzarella sticks and fight?
And I think it was like the spirit of Mommy's Little Ham, Matt Jackson, entered both of them at a really inopportune moment. And they both just went into like crazed ham mode where it's like, wow, If we aren't going to talk, then I guess we better fight next week. And Chris was like, I guess we better. And then they're going to fight next week. And it was like, girls, what energy do you think we got from that image? Like, it's like the energy was that you've been like tricking us this whole time. And actually, like, you've been fucking or something. Like, it's like, you're like, we're actually fine. We've been playing a little trick on all of you.
You know how like Jimmy Kimmel or like, you know, whatever. Sometimes they'll do sketches where like, the celebrity will start a scene one way and then like they'll ring a bell and be like, now do it like a 1920s flapper. Somebody did that off stage where they were like, they're so mad at you. You're so mad at each other and you're not talking and you're aggressive. And then like halfway through the promo, they rang a bell and they were like, now you're secret best friends and you won't tell anybody because you're afraid, you know, you're going to get caught that way.
But everybody, like, okay, can tell anyway because neither of you is good at keeping a secret. It's funny because if it had been like a live promo, I would have been like, they got, you know, I was straight up, I would just be like, oh, you got the giggles in the middle of that because you're friends. I get it. It happens to the best of us. It was a pre-tape, so it was like, I think we could have done another take. I do think we could have done another take. Love him so much. Very happy to watch him fight.
Of course.
I think maybe if we had stayed in that first mode for the back half of the promo, that's what I would have preferred, but love you to death, girls.
Love you so much.
Love you so much.
Deranged.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
All right. We didn't watch Collision, so I had to watch, I had to read the recap to try and figure out what happened with the Death Riders over there, and it's pretty unclear. Mox seems to have gotten 2 separate promo segments. I think one was a pre-tape in which, did we know that Shibata got beaten up by a Death Rider?
Hard to say.
Yeah, okay, none of us know, so that's fine. Don't worry about that. Shibata did, though. And so Mox was being like, guess everyone's going to die like Shibata if you keep this up. And this recap, Shibata's fate was sealed. Moxley finds it hard to dislike Joe. His reputation is beyond reproach. Very Regency. Sort of like Bryan Danielson. But none of this is in quotes. It's like, that. So that's what he said? And why was he bringing up Bryan Danielson? Now, what did you mean by that?
Okay.
And then Mox said he loves getting locked in cages with men or something. And then Samoa Joe said that he was going to fight Claudio to avenge Shibata. And then that was his promo. And then Mox got an in-ring promo where he said some more stuff that I didn't fully understand about how he said, I wonder who said this. You think he doesn't want to get in a firefight? Who was the he, do you think? Just look at your partners, Joe. You've been in a firefight this whole time. Well, what does that mean?
This new AEW recap thing is going to be the death of us. Because if you thought we sounded stupid before, now enjoy unclear pronouns and no quotations.
I can't.
Yeah. Plus, like, the way Mox is talking, it's like he literally could have said all of this verbatim. That's like, so hard to say.
So true. I really am absolutely, I'm fucking begging All Elite Wrestling. I just know you just look in the couch cushions and find a couple of nickels. Tony Khan, you are a billionaire. Pay for it out of your own pocket. I can't do this. You cannot be having, I mean, I'm sorry to offend. If a real person is doing these, I'm very sorry to offend you right now, although I'm not that sorry because I'm very angry at you. If you are having someone use ChatGPT to do these, It is not only immoral, unethical, and makes you a fucking idiot, okay? But it is ruining my life. Mine.
It's unusable. It's who do you put these recaps up for?
Who is it
for? People who missed the show to understand what happened.
They want to know
and
what
you're
happened.
Not doing that.
I can't do this. I need you to pay Caption Max $1,000 a week. That's it. I'm sure it only costs that. Please.
Chump change.
Please. That's all. Okay, so that's what happened. Oh, and then Claudio and Samoa Joe they main evented. I mean, it's crazy that they main evented. I'll say that.
Yeah.
Because what I said as I was watching it, I said, I can't take this seriously. This is like that fight scene in Crazy Stupid Love, where it's a bunch of middle-aged men who don't know how. I understand the professional wrestlers, but somehow the vibe they were giving was like, I've never touched another man's body in violence before. I'm just doing my best.
Sometimes I do feel like technical graps, real graps, can verge into a boy fight territory pretty easily. Because it's not the first time I've seen it.
No.
And it's like, is this a slap fight? It's kind of turning. It is turning into like Bridget Jones's Diary when Mark Darcy and Hugh Grant get into it. You know, where you're just like, huh, well.
It's not. I think it's not ideal. Maybe for people to end your show like the final match hits, the showstopper hits. We all immediately are like, okay, I'm checking out mostly mentally. I'm not really going to watch this. And then we spend the whole thing being like, I guess it's pretty fun comedy though. I guess it's fun that they're doing a little boy fight, a little slap fight. It's fun that neither of them has ever fought before, but they're doing it for the first time live on Dynamite right now.
just took some dads out of the crowd and threw them in the ring. So let's see what you got.
Yeah. Watch someone tell us tomorrow, like, it's like Dave Meltzer just gave this 7 stars.
Match of the year.
The Young Bucks and Okada. No. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say someone in our channel was like, my wife heard about what the main event was and could not have gone to bed faster. And I was like, yeah, the second they came out, I put the show on my phone and went to the bathroom to brush my teeth for bed.
The vibe was truly like, my chores are done. My chores are all done.
Be like, well, I won't be watching this for sure.
The Young Bucks and Okada had a backstage segment with Ricochet, who was eagerly begging to prove that he can contribute valuable information and skills to their team. He said, I fought Swerve before. I'm so good at fighting. I'm like, I think you're already scheduled for the match. I don't know. You'll be there. Don't worry about it.
Maybe they didn't have his resume, you know?
The energy in that promo was so fucking deranged because Ricochet was like, boys, I know that you weren't ready to let me be the middleman last week, but I really think I'm feeling this week. I think we're feeling good. We're going to have great feeling. And like Matt and Nick were kind of looking at him like, it's not a no. It's not a no. Let me keep thinking, definitely.
And it's like, they don't have any other, it's like no other man is coming out with you. Like, it's like, you want to just take Ricochet's face between your hand and be like, it is going to be you. Like, it's not like there isn't really another option, but they know that he doesn't understand that. So it's like, we'll just keep him in suspense until we're about to go out.
It's that where they're like, it is going to be him because no one else is really asking. But it is also like, if, to me, it felt like Matt was like looking over Ricochet's shoulder like, is there anybody? No? Oh, no. I mean, you know, if he is it, then he'll be it. But is anyone else surprised?
You've got to keep your options open. Matt Jackson, this Julie Cooper top with the pearls and the zebra print. That I
love
looked
of my life.
Even lower cut this week. Oh. But I didn't know. I don't know if it. I don't think it was lower cut. But he was push up bra-ing his boobs.
Yeah, the effect arm of him crossing his arms and pushing his tits together looked so
indecent.
Good,
erotic,
absolutely indecent.
Insane.
Yeah. I hope he's using some garment tape on his nips to hold that in place, you know?
I was just imagining little X's over it, like in case. But then it's also just so great. For some reason, just like the level of animation and because he was doing the push-up bra thing, like to then like look over it, like Nick who's talking to the camera, and Nick has just been like, no V-neck for me, please. It'll be a very normal... just round neckline for me, and I won't really want to. I'm not really wanting to be showing my boob. Thank you.
It's true. Although his top also had like a very feminine energy to it.
It is a girl's neckline also, but it's like a more demure, more girl's demure neckline.
Absolutely. It's a modest girl. Yeah.
It's a modest girl's neckline.
The girl
neckline
went to Christian school. Yeah.
Matt Jackson went to Christian school. Okay.
Well, there's two types of girls that go to Christian school. Okay.
I can't wait for you to get canceled for that one. But I went to Catholic school myself, so I like it very much. Great promo. The Bucks turn around to enter their dressing room. The Death Riders are in there waiting for them. I actually don't know exactly, but Matt said something like, okay, let's, what are you guys here for? Let's talk. Like,
I made this face like, oh boy.
Well. I'm obsessed. I really want to interview people. Like, I want to be like on the street being like, now what did you get from that interaction? Because that did almost like a cartoon, like, ooh, I was not a, I totally this did. Is coming to a head now.
I didn't even bring out their resumes.
Well, we might as well get it over with. And the Death Riders were also sitting in like very dim lighting.
Yeah.
It was like, it wasn't quite dark, but it was very dim. And I was like, so were you guys just silently sitting in the almost dark, waiting for the Young Bucks to stop flirting with Ricochet? Like,
it is funny to think about them sitting there. They like adjusted the lighting. They got it perfect. Yeah. It's menacing. It's dim. And then they had to sit there for like 2 hours because they didn't know when he was coming in. You know?
It was giving musical theater. It was giving at any second they're going to start doing a song from West Side Story. Like, you know.
Absolutely.
Which I love.
Yeah. Honestly, like the gangs in West Side Story, that is kind of the vibe of pro wrestling.
Yeah.
You know, I haven't watched the Spielberg West Side Story, but I saw some clips from it recently, and I actually was captivated. I mean, I was taken away. I was taken away. I'll be watching the film. I will be watching
it. Was it aesthetically good?
It was aesthetically good, but also it was just like, you know, I think I had a moment where I was like, God, I love musical theater. They're dancing and it's choreographed. I just love it. What can I say? And that's why I watched professional wrestling. We got a trios match between Young Bucks Ricochet and Mark Briscoe, Mike Bailey, and Swerve Strickland. Yet another party match, I think.
But first, you need to say with the entrance that Ricochet did get the middleman. Yeah. Ricochet got the middleman. He was clearly so fucking psyched.
Yeah.
It's gotta feel so good.
Probably scared too, but fun.
He
fun
should
way.
Be scared. Like, I am like afraid. Yeah. I'm like, is this like overconfidence that you think you're gonna be the one? Or do you not know about their Black
Have you
Widow
never
tendencies?
Heard of them?
He might, maybe he doesn't know.
He was in WWE for a lot of that time. He might not know. I'm like, Ricochet, you're in danger.
Someone's pulling him aside and being like, they've had 10 husbands. You want to know where those husbands are now? And Ricochet's like, probably very happy, and I can't wait to be the 11th.
That's why he doesn't know. Before this podcast started, we talked about how men are terrible at gossiping, and they don't know what's
don't
important
gossip.
To tell people.
Yeah, nobody's told him.
Right. You are
what
right.
What the fuck?
Crack
All right, guys,
case.
Somebody has got to tell Ricochet what's happened to their previous husbands.
Take some responsibility socially.
He wouldn't listen. He would just be, tune it out and then just be like, what were
but
you talking about?
But at least you would have done your duty,
true.
You know?
It's like, if you want to prove that you're a good citizen, tell Ricochet that he's going to get Black Widowed. He needs to know. He's like, he's on a roller coaster. He doesn't even know it. He's just like, he's never heard of a roller coaster. So he's just like, so exhilarating. I think this thing goes up forever.
Yeah, he's like, wow, we're really climbing and climbing at such like a sedate pace. And it's so comfortable.
Mature and comfortable.
Ricochet, once it gets to that top, you're not going to like what happens next.
Oh, my God. Extremely fun match. In the middle of this match, I suddenly was just like, did we have a single party match on TV in the 6 months that the Young Bucks were gone? I fear perhaps not.
I really don't think so. I really think the answer is no, which is crazy.
And then I was like, does anyone else like know how to do a party match?
Well, that's why I'm like,
does anyone around here in chicken sounds?
And when you said that,
you know, fun?
I kind of was like, oh, is that why Tony bought these new action figures? Because he's like, the Young Bucks were gone for 6 months, and it turns out nobody fucking knows how to do a party match. So now we've got some party boys.
I need a big there crew of party boys.
Party people.
Yeah, I mean, there were just hardly any tag or trios matches in that time, which is kind of wild.
I know it.
Well, it's great to have him. I mean, to get this kind of party match,
yeah,
a Memphis-style match. And thank you. Some of you did say, I think what I gathered was that it was right. Maybe I didn't say it on the podcast, but after the podcast, I found someone being like, it's funny that Jim Cornette hates, like, X, Y, and Z type spots so much because, like, he was a Memphis wrestling guy, and it's exactly what they would have done in Memphis wrestling, so he would love it if it were there, but he doesn't love it here. So what I understand is that perhaps it is Memphis, in some ways, Memphis-style wrestling. Messling?
Messling.
I love Memphis Messling.
We're all loving Memphis Messling, and it is kind of like spotty, PWG.
Yeah.
And Goofy, like, I didn't know he was, it was Ricochet until I felt the ball.
Yeah, that's so fun. Yeah.
So fun.
My God.
I love that they saved it, that Swerve missed the last one, and they were like, it's cool, we'll just redo it with you. It was so much fun last week.
It's exhilarating. It was really exhilarating to just be like, wow, I'm having so much fun for the third week in a row. I'm so happy.
I know.
Yeah. Third I can't believe anyone's bitching about AEW right now.
No, but I like it both ways, but I do enjoy the version of, like, Swerve being like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm on vacation that week. And then he watched Dynamite and was like, what the fuck, that match rules. Guys, we gotta do it again. I didn't know it was gonna be that cool. We gotta do it. I gotta be there. That's so fun.
So fucking fun. Matt Jackson shocked Swerve by rolling him up for the win. And I thought...
Shocked Swerve and me.
Wow. You know what?
And Matt. Like, it felt like Matt was shocked, Swerve was shocked, the audience and me. Was shocked. And me.
Everybody was surprised.
The girls, the gays, and Coleman, yeah.
Oh my God. So the Bucks and Ricochet were scrambling up the ramp, just being like, we fucking did it. We did it, boys. And Matt was like boisterously pointing at Ricochet and shouting the winning formula. And Ricochet looked like transported, like, I'm the middleman. And then we won the match. And they liked me so much. And it was just like, girl, the Joss theme is playing.
He literally, like, 6 months from now, he's going to be in a dark room crying and remembering this night and feeling so strange.
You know, I wonder if it's, you know, like, if you could talk to the middleman and be like, listen, if you knew how it was going to end, would you do it anyway? Would you do it again? Was it worth it?
I just imagined.
The highs were so high.
I was imagining the Law & Order SVU opening thing where it's like, these are their stories.
Meanwhile, I was over here thinking about the lyrics to Garth Brooks' The Dance.
I could have missed the pain, but I'd have to miss the dance. Wow. Our lives are better left to chance.
For the dance is the party match.
The dance is the party match. I can't miss the dance anymore. I need the dance every week. You can't take this away at least every other week.
I know.
You can't take this away from me. I need to have
Here's
fun.
Here's the thing.
No.
I was so mad that the Young Bucks were gone for so long. But if what's happened now is that the Young Bucks missed so many dates that they're going to be doing a party match every week until the end of the year, I'll stop complaining.
But would you stop complaining if they then took another 6 months off? Like, are you saying you're okay with a permanent 6 months on, 6 months off schedule?
If I know it's going to be consistent, I'm like, well,
you're like,
while I'm in winter, it'll be miserable, but then the sun will come out again, you know?
Literally, hate.
She's
Hades.
Saying she would have missed the dance, so she would take that bargain. Yeah.
Okay. What are we talking about here? Roosh cut a promo on Dynamite. He was wearing this sweater. I've never seen anything like it in wrestling. No one has ever done this before.
No.
It was a little white knit.
I'm glad you said in wrestling because I was like, Ellie,
I've never seen
you
a,
have
No,
seen
I've never
it.
Seen a sweater before, Ann. I don't know. I had to Google this garment. And Google didn't find me the answer because it doesn't work anymore. No, I've never seen anything like this in wrestling. He just looked like he had been out at the farmer's market, and then Tony called and said, I need you to come cut a promo. And he said, I don't have time to change. So I guess I'll come back in my beautiful little...
With my paper bag full of artisan maple syrup.
Can you hold these for a moment? I'm somebody's husband.
And you know what? If you want to be a top guy, you've got to present yourself as a star. And I think the sweater did it.
And I was in the Social Suplex live watch, and somebody in it was like, because I was in the live watch being like, that's my boyfriend. He treats me so well. He takes me to a lake cabin, vacation, weekend away. And so someone was like, it's just a sweater. And I was like, a sweater will do a lot. Have you heard of a movie called Knives Out?
Have you?
Like, a sweater will do. I actually, when I said, I was like, a generation ago, and fell in love with Billy Crystal based on
his sweater.
Please never underestimate the power of a cozy sweater
and
on a man.
It's not just that it's a sweater. It's the context of the sweater. You're not expecting it. No one has ever worn a sweater of this type on wrestling before. I've never seen a man come out on wrestling looking like, I love to just be a nice husband, a provider, and just a guy who loves my kids.
Yeah, that's what he says. I love to be the big spoon. It's my favorite place to be.
Get back.
Hello.
Get start spooning.
Yeah.
My back's getting cold, Roosh.
It says, I'll be so nice to your mom. Your parents are going to love me more than you.
Oh my God.
Oh yeah. Oof. Oh yeah.
Yeah. So, I don't, you know. Thank you. Thank you, Roosh. Thank you for that. Apparently, Roosh had a four-way on Collision versus AR Fox, Kevin Knight, and Sammy Guevara that had a $100,000 prize. Can you tell me why any match that Kevin Knight is in now has a $100,000 prize? Why is that?
The vibe is very much like Tony, like, felt really bad because he undersold his contract. Like, he like was expecting Kevin Knight. He was expecting Kevin Knight to negotiate, and Kevin Knight just accepted this low number, and Tony's like, oh, I can't do this. I'm just gonna keep inventing ways.
But then this one is so funny. It's like Sammy Guevara wins it. Imagine, like, you set up a match to be like, I have to get Kevin Knight an extra 100K somehow, and I need it to, like, not be a thing. And then Sammy Guevara wins, and he's just like, I got $100,000.
I think that's the plot of a Friends episode where Chandler's trying to give Joey rent money. And then Ross plays the made-up game against him.
Well, Tony is a 90s kid, so that all checks out. And I want to say, but I will say, it's about feminism. The women should be fighting for money sometimes then. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if this...
They need the bonuses more than the men do, surely.
Yeah. We're going to pay it 80 cents on the dollar. Why don't some of these fucking matches
you
go for us?
You can't have men fighting twice in a month and no women fighting for money.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're going to have the women fight for money, but it'll be for $80,000.
To bring awareness, Anne. To bring awareness.
To bring awareness, yeah. It'll be really good awareness.
Okay, Roosh was mad, I guess, that he didn't win $100,000. I would be too. And so later in the show, Okada fought Kevin Knight, and Roosh attacked Kevin Knight on the way out, and then Speedball had to come out and save Kevin Knight, and Kevin Knight was like, I'm fine. I can totally keep wrestling. I can wrestle. I'm fine. But then he did lose his match because he perhaps wasn't fine and not as good at wrestling as he would have been otherwise. And so then Okada was was just being mean to him and beating him up more. And so then Speedball Mike Bailey had to come out and save him again, which I kind of love. I'm like, that's pathetic. That's so sweet.
That's pathetic. Yeah. I love a pathetic man being rescued by his beleaguered husband. I mean, that does it for us more than anything.
Of course, that's what we love the most. And I love that I'm like, as far as I know, you guys just met. You guys did orientation together at your new job that you got a month ago, and now you are boyfriends, and you're really normal boyfriends.
Yeah, that's the thing. Is like
so normal.
It's like they met at orientation. Someone asked someone else out. They had a pretty normal date. Yeah. They've actually kept dating. Things are progressing normally.
Yeah.
Nobody is moving too quickly. No one's doing anything weird. Everyone's just like having. This is going well.
Really functional. Yeah, no obstacles. I think our friend Nicole said it. They're like a side character in a rom-com. Yeah. You know, like the side couple that like the main couple's having a lot of stress, but they're
it's like
they're
in the background
going to the farmer's market.
Right. It's just like occasionally the main couple is like looking at them being like, God, I wish I had what they have, but I'm just not that mentally well. I'm a mentally unstable sociopath, so unfortunately I can't have what they have, but God, what if I could?
Someone in our Social Suplex channel also was like, their vibe also sort of is that Tony Khan arranged marriage them, and it surprisingly went great. Like, they met at the altar and was like, this seems fine.
This is exactly what I expected. Thank you so much.
I read this is really relevant enough, but I love this, so I'm going to tell you anyway. I read an article one time by someone whose parents, like, had an arranged marriage, and she was like, yeah, and then when I was in my 20s, so they'd been married, like, 20, 30 years, they suddenly, like, fell in love with each other. Like, they were all giggly and, like, sneaking around.
Oh, my God.
And it was, like, really unsettling for her as their child. And I was like, that's, like... Like, could someone film that story?
I know.
Yeah, that's fascinating.
That's incredible. Like, what happened?
It's not actually, of course, the plot of The Americans, but it is...
A little bit, though.
It's associated. Yeah. And, of course, I also find it quite electrifying to be like, spend 20 years being like, well, it's fine. It's just what happened, and it's fine. And then suddenly you're just like, I love you for real. Mm. Finger on the roof.
Yeah.
Do you love me?
And in Big Love, when Bill and Barb were kind of having an illicit affair, that was so horny. Yeah.
Wow. Well, you know.
Maybe I'll watch Big Love. I've never watched Big Love.
Yeah. Oh, you should.
Maybe I'll watch that.
Super fun.
Yeah.
I got to stop watching Suits.
You can't watch Suits anymore, dude.
It's making me so mad.
I think it could give you a coronary. Because it's like, it's not going to get better.
Yeah.
You know that.
No.
You know
at this point.
5 seasons in, it's not getting better.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. Watch Big Love, and if it goes well, it can be What's Making You Happy next week. So.
Oh, hey, such a good point. Yeah. Wow.
Maybe it'll be What's Making Me Happy every week.
No.
Every time.
Different thing.
I'll just there's only like, 5 seasons in their HBO seasons.
And it's a different thing every 3 weeks. So we're not doing the same thing.
Okay, that's not in the rules.
It is in the rules. I just wrote it in the rules. I just wrote it on in there. All right. Okay. FTR and Danny Garcia. Danny Garcia now being called Daniel Garcia only on the AEW website.
They've always done that, actually. They've always done that.
Oh,
we're
really?
The only ones who call him Danny.
We're the only ones who call him Danny?
I think Matt Menard calls him Danny. Nobody else calls him Danny.
Wow. That's... I'm having to rewrite reality in my head. All right. Okay. Well, that's a wake-up call for me. FTR and Stokely marched up to Tony Schiavone on Dynamite to be like, do you have a problem with us? I guess because Tony has been mean to them on commentary, even though they apologized to him. And then, I don't know, something happened. I think I meant to rewatch this, but then I didn't.
I'll say this for free. They would have never been allowed to talk to Tony Schiavone like that if Nigel was there.
Well, it was cowardly show up to the show
that Nigel's not at.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think, that should be textual.
It should be.
Yeah.
And Nigel needs to talk to Taz and Excalibur and be like, guys, what the fuck?
Like, afterwards, Taz was like, boy, Tony, you're always getting yourself into trouble. And it's like, well, you didn't lift a finger to help, did you?
I would love to watch a promo that's just, like, the commentary team has a meeting every week. And it's just, like, Nigel standing up, like, I've got a point of order. When I'm not there, someone else has to be his husband. I need someone to stand in for me. Like, are we a team or are we not? And they're like, we're a team and that's not our responsibility. That's a kind of like a your responsibility, like your husband thing.
I just tried to picture like Excalibur standing up to FTR for Tony Schiavone and it was like, oh, that's not. No,
he'd
get
his ass beat.
No.
I want to see him get his ass beat because he's like, it's better to get my ass beat by FTR now than to get my ass beat by Nigel later.
That's true. I think I would be more worried about Nigel.
Yeah. Well, especially when he's been lit up by his love for Tony.
Don't you think Excalibur's vibe is that he refuses to get into a fight with literally anybody?
Yeah.
Even Don Callis sometimes, he's like, well, this is what's happening to us. Like, Tony get into their feuds all the time, but Excalibur's just like, peace at any cost.
It's true, but he's not going to be able to refuse to get into a fight with Nigel. Nigel is going to kill him. If he doesn't protect Tony, Nigel will kill him. You can't just say, no, you're not allowed to kill me. I don't get into fights, I'm afraid, so I'm going to have to decline. No, you can't.
It'd be like Excalibur just keeps, like, sidling away real fast, and Nigel keeps, like, lunging for him and
crab
doesn't quite.
Walking. I think that Nigel has to say on commentary on Collision, I need to hear him saying, like, they only did that because I wasn't there. It's cowardly for them to do that when I'm not there, when they know I would always protect you. I would do anything for you.
I think Collision just finished airing. I hope we sign off and hear this.
Great.
Yeah.
Really I'm sure we will.
I just started to say to the mic, tell us in our Discord. They're not listening. We're not live.
We will have found out by that point, probably. Danny Garcia answered Max Caster's open challenge on Collision and beat him in 1 minute. And then we got this Max Caster promo, I think it was posted online afterwards, where Max, the cameraman, is pursuing Max Caster. Being like, Max, I'd love to talk to you about kind of what's going on in your life right now. Max Caster has turned around. He says, no, no, no. He leans over, he pukes. I went to heaven. I mean, it's like,
Absolutely perfect.
So good.
And then he's just running, literally running away through the venue. Then the cameraman is pursuing him. And I said, this is what I've been asking for years. After a wrestler's match goes bad, the cameraman should be pursuing that wrestler as the wrestler tries to go find somewhere to die, like an animal. Yeah. I'm trying to go die, and the cameraman is like, and I'll be there. And I'll be there.
And this cameraman was like, we don't normally talk to the losers. We're all having to like get into shape to be able to catch you. Like, please stop running away.
Amazing. I mean, you know, what can we say? We've been saying it for weeks and months at this point. Max Caster, your gimmick is impeccable.
Perfect.
So good.
Perfect.
And poor Anthony Bowens is, like, doing such a bad job, and he's got his little baseball gimmick, which is just like, and the thing about me is I'm real athletic. It's like, buddy, this is a pro wrestling company.
Doesn't work for me, brother.
Everybody is.
Doesn't work for me, brother.
No.
Everybody
so
is.
You gotta, and
I know.
But now it's like,
and I want him. I want good things for him, you know?
Of course.
Like, I like him. I want him
of
to
course.
Have a thing, but I'm sort of like, oh, you're so boring.
It's like, if you need to get anywhere near the level that Max Caster is at of calling out men that he could never possibly beat, getting his ass handed to him, running away, puking, and just being like, and I'll do it again. And I'll do it again.
Trying to steal a forklift. And then finally getting away from the cameraman by squeezing into the tightest space behind a chain link fence and kind of scooting and shimmying his way away from the cameraman. Hello?
Oh, my God.
It's kind of like in wrestling, of course, there are some people who, like, a very select few, who can want to be cool, try to be cool, and be cool. It's like two of you, maybe, and I can't even name you. The rest of you, it's like you just have to be yourself. You have to be unashamed. And sometimes that is going to mean doing something that's technically humiliating, but actually the most sublime entertainment that a girl with anxiety could ask for.
Right? Yeah. You can't be a pro wrestler. Well, you can. Many of them are. But if you're a pro wrestler, you should embrace humiliation because look at your job.
If you don't, you can't be loved by us.
Do you guys think that, I guess he would have had to come back as a heel for this to work, but do you think Stokely should have been paired with Anthony Bowens rather than FTR?
That would be better.
I think Stokely would have done a lot because Anthony Bowens can get weird if somebody else is kind of egging him on. So I think it's possible that he and Stokely would have been, although I guess Stokely would have just been his Max Caster. So maybe it would have just.
Yeah. But he is like a good street man though. So, and I feel like if the other guy isn't wrestling, like it could work. It'd work better than, I don't think it's particularly good with FTR. I think O&R was saying too that Anthony Bowens feels very like focus group workshopped, which I think is right, where it's like, oh, you need to like find what's true about you and lean into it.
I wish what he was leaning into is that he's wearing very slutty crop tops. And so he was just like, this is Thirst Trap Central, baby.
That's all the personality
works with the crop top is good for me. You think a baseball thing? Sure. If you think that the crop top fits that gimmick, that's fine.
Well, it's like every week he should come out in a different costume, like except that it's like
a
slutty Halloween.
That's like,
he's like, I'm a baseball player and I wear a lot of crop tops. Like, all right, I'm
but
listening.
Then it's like the next the next week he's a fireman, but he's the uniform is cut right above his nipple. The
I
week
was just
after.
About to be like, he does the full YMCA, like he's one guy after another. And then I was like, is that a homophobic joke? I don't know.
You know,
maybe.
I don't know. But he wore the crop top. I mean, we're just working with what we got here. You know, it's like.
Yeah. Exactly.
The thing is that I think ultimately what we are not clicking with is kind of staying with that baseball thing. It's not it's like, I get it. You like baseball and you are good at baseball and you're good at sports. I understand it. For me, that is not kind of getting the job done in terms of me feeling an interest and a connection to you as a man and a character.
Yeah. And I mean, this is kind of, you know, too much inside baseball. But it's like, Anthony, at this moment, you're not really going to get pushed to the top of the card. You're going to be in the mid card. That's
look
where you
who
are
we got
until
up
you
mid
card
at best. Yeah.
Right. So in that case, your gimmick does have to be more than athletic because realistically, you're going to do some losing because that's where you're at. So,
right.
get real.
Like, Max Kessler's a genius to be like, my gimmick is going to be I call myself the best wrestler alive and I get squashed every week. It's like, it's perfect. And you get on the show every week.
You're going to be on the week because you got to. Every week. Everybody's going to love it. He's got the crowds with him so hard. I think he's babyface turning off.
Yes! Oh, for sure.
Because he's like, I don't give a shit. I'll do it. I will look so pathetic. And then I'll just pop back up. I'll just pop every week. I say nothing could get me down. And then a man sits on me so hard, I flatten completely. And then I just pop back up.
Then I run away. I puke. I climb a fence to get away from a cameraman.
I mean, honestly,
like every wrestler in AEW should embrace the fact that being willing to lose is going to get you over so much faster than being these assholes who won't. Because it's like, look at Swerve who lost this goddamn week. Like,
you just you have to lose while being a person that we're like, that we want to root for. Like, we want you to win. If you lose, people and love lose an underdog. And lose, but we want you to win. That's that's all it takes.
That's where it is.
And Max Caster, may I say, body be banging. Titties looked titties looked unreal. God, you're running around, you're barfing, your boobs are out. Like, okay, I'm in heaven.
And I don't think we've said, but his like HBO Max gear is so funny. Like, it just says Max in the logo. Like, that's smart.
Smart. Synergy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
All right. Was there anything you wanted to talk about that we did not get a chance to talk about?
I don't think so.
No.
Okay, girls. This was a fun week.
We're back.
We're back.
Yeah.
Everyone looking hale, hearty, in high spirits. We had some laughs, and we had some smart talks. And you know what? You'll get that every week here. You'll get that. One of them.
Okay, don't make promises.
Some weeks more than others,
out of 52 weeks, a high proportion of them will be hale and hearty.
What do you think we aim for? Like, what do you think we could really sell? Like,
40? Four? Like 40 out of 52?
Oh, I thought you meant 40%. I was like,
40. I know. I was like, okay, well,
higher hit rate than that.
I think we're at a 60 or 70% hit rate.
I was going to give a 70 and I felt good about it.
I was totally,
70%. But it's passing grade?
Yeah. But probably 40 out of 52.
Where do you think Dynamite is at?
So, same page.
40.
Lower than ours.
Yeah. Lower than ours.
I think Dynamite's good percentage is lower than ours.
I think. Yeah. I think 50. You think 50? Oh, that's fair.
Yeah.
I'll give you that.
Yeah, I think
I'll
give you that.
Especially 50. When you get the pay-per-views
maybe
in there.
Maybe 55 or 60. Yeah, if you include the pay-per-views, we're up to a...
But if you include Collision, we're down to a 20. I mean, real dud of a show, am I right?
Especially if it's like, not just now, but like the whole run of AEW.
The mature, comfortable run, On that note, I've been Allie.
I've been Ann.
And I've been Leah.
This is Tunnel Talk. Our theme is by Chris Kerorkian. You can find us on Twitter, Tumblr, Twitch, and Blue Sky at Tunnel Talk Pod via email, tunneltalkpod@gmail.com. We have a souvenir stand. You can find it at chop-tees.com. You can find us on our feed, on the Social Suplex Network feed, where you can check out all the other great podcasts on the network. And you can find us on the Social Suplex Network Discord. Please rate, review, and subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. Stay frosty. And as always, please, come back next week. That's the most normal I've done it in years. I mean...
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.